talking about all the loves, the different types of love for Hashem in all the previous chapters. And we were talking about what motivates that love and how to put yourself in the right mindset. And all of these loves for Hashem, the Alter Rebbe says, and at the end of last chapter, is called silver as opposed to gold. And what that means is, in Hebrew, the word for silver is kesef. The quality of the love for Hashem that we were speaking about in all the previous chapters, whether it's based on meditation and realizing how great Hashem is as a creator, or it's based on the fact that a person is thinking about how Hashem lifts us up and brings us close, even though we are so imperfect and we're humans and we're mortals, and Hashem leaves the angels and wants to be with us. And then we talked about that's called the love of Mayim HaPanim LePanim, the reflection of a face to a face. So we reflect and how Hashem loves us, and therefore that calls out a love in us. Or we talk about we talked about Avas Olam and Ava Rabba, a love for Hashem that is limited, love for Hashem that is unlimited. All of these loves for Hashem, the Alter Rebbe groups into a general grouping called Kesef or silver. And why is that? Because silver is, the word silver in Hebrew is kesef. And the word kesef itself means desire, to want something. So what is it that we want? We want to be close to Hashem. We want that we should be close to Hashem. We want that we should be close to spirituality. We want that we should be not materialistically bound and stuck in the loop of being selfish, stuck in the, even on a good level, I'm talking about selfish, being selfish, bad selfish. We don't want to be involved with ourselves. We want to be involved with big things, you know. We want to be involved with spiritual things. So this is all desire. It's a desire. We want. It's a feeling of us. At the end of the day, no matter how refined the love is, it is a feeling that it makes us, lifts us, makes us greater. It lifts us up. It attaches us to worthwhile things as opposed to temporary things, as opposed to things that are not worthy of being involved with, and you know, just so that's this category of love. It's lifting us up. We feel greater. We feel. The Alter Rebbe now says that there is a separate category of love for Hashem, which is called a love of gold. Why is it a love of gold? In Hebrew, it's called kolos hanefesh. Kolos hanefesh means we don't want to exist. It's not about us. As a matter of fact, it's about, and we started speaking about this in the last chapter 49, it's about us not existing anymore as a separate entity, as something separate. So now it's not us becoming greater. It's not us humans or even bodies in the neshamas and bodies becoming more in tune with what Hashem's plan is. Instead, it's we don't want to be separate at all from Hashem. We want it neshamas, the souls, should go right back, zoom right back, and be as close to spirituality as possible, not be involved in the materialistic world at all. And this is kolos hanefesh. So let's see what this chapter says. In previous chapters, the Tanya discussed various levels and forms of love for God, each of which can inspire one to study Torah, to observe mitzvahs with enthusiasm. In all of these levels, the love consists of a yearning to become either joined with God, higher spirituality, or to have spiritual feeling revealed in your neshama. And for this reason, the love of Hashem arouses a person to study Torah, to observe commandments, because the goal of all of this, this first level, the love that we're calling now silver, is that a person should become the human being, the created being, the created entity, should become infused, should become filled with spirituality. Hashem's presence should become revealed in our neshama. This chapter 50 will discuss a different form of love. Rather than a yearning to become joined with Hashem, It is a thirst and a craving for the divine to the point of kolos hanefesh, rapture. It's the Christian term, which I don't like, that consumes the soul until it is on the verge of expiring into sheer godliness. The aim of this love is that we want so much to be close to Hashem that we don't even want to be in the physical world at all. Whatever ties a person, ties it to the body, this individual wants to expire into godliness. Such a love for Hashem doesn't prompt us to directly observe Torah mitzvahs, because how could you observe Torah mitzvahs if you're dead, basically, is what it is, if your neshama is leaving your body. Nevertheless, unless a person, the Alter Rebbe says, has this as your ultimate aim, then you're missing the point. In other words, let me talk from a different perspective. There's a beautiful story that one of the great chassidim, who was a chassid of the Alter Rebbe, was first a chassid of another Rebbe, not the Alter Rebbe himself. And the other great Hasidic master, or student of the Maggid of Mizrich, said to him, to this great Hasid, I'm going to make you, if you follow my direction, I'll make you into a keli, I'll make you into a vessel. You'll be perfect, you'll be amazing. The Alter Rebbe said, if you follow my direction, I'll make you into a broken vessel. And this chassid, of course, followed the Alter Rebbe, and he became the Alter Rebbe's, one of the great disciples, students of the Alter Rebbe. What's the difference between a vessel and a broken vessel? And what's the difference between, what's the point? That's the question. What is the point of Torah and mitzvahs? That ultimately is the question that we have to ask ourselves. So there's two ways to look at it. One way is, you could study Jewish mysticism, you could study Kabbalah, and you can still have, at the end of the day, the wrong goal. And what is that? Why are we fulfilling Torah? Why are we doing mitzvahs? Are we doing it so that we can become greater? So that we can get more reward? So that we can become more spiritual? If that's the reason that we're doing mitzvahs, if that's the reason that we're studying Torah, then we could have the greatest love for Hashem, we could have the greatest desire to do mitzvahs. At the end of the day, who are we serving? Who are we focusing on? What's our goal? Our goal is ourself. Yes, you've raised it many, many notches. Instead of being a self-serving person who wants to eat, let's say, the most amazing meal in the fanciest restaurant, instead of going to the fanciest vacation and seeing the fanciest, the most amazing sights and so on, so which serves the body, instead you've become a soul-focused individual, and now you're serving your soul, but at the end of the day, you're serving your soul. So, not to be confused here, this is amazing. It's amazing and wonderful and this and that. But when you boil it right down, what's the difference to the person who is servicing their body because it makes them feel good, whether it's the fanciest meal in the restaurant or it's the vacation or it's the whatever, just something simpler than that. I see them say that a cold drink of water, which you drink for your own personal benefit because it makes you feel good, is just as dangerous as eating the most tray food, because in both cases, you are servicing your nefesh abahamis, your animalistic soul, your base impulses. So now we've raised it many notches, and instead of servicing our nefesh abahamis, our animal soul, we're servicing an animal soul that is very much refined, an animal soul that actually enjoys spirituality. But what are we servicing? Ourself. The concept of a broken vessel, that's a vessel. We are great. We are holy. We have done mitzvahs. We're doing mitzvahs. We're amazing. And we have accomplished, and look at us, and so on. This chassid recognized in the story I was telling you that that's not the point. The point is to serve Hashem. The point is to do what it is that to be not ourselves. And we're talking about these parshas now. We're talking about Avraham. We're talking about Yitzchak and Yaakov. The concept of Avraham says in this week's parsha, the Anochi Afar Va'efer, I am dust and ashes. I'm nothing. So when I'm nothing, it's not that I'm nothing and I'm proud of it and look at me, I'm nothing, I'm so great that I've managed to attain humility, which is another joke in and of itself. Look at me, I'm so humble. So how humble is that person really? It's the person really is nothing. You feel that you are nothing. It's not about you. The Alter Rebbe says that's the difference between the love for Hashem, all the great levels of love that we've spoken about, which is the love called silver. And again, the Hebrew word for silver is kesef, which means desire. It means I want. I feel good. It makes me feel so spiritual when I'm, and it's not to minimize it. That's a very big level. If we can actually, if a person living in this physical world can actually prevail upon themselves and actually truly, not fool themselves, but truly have as their goal the love for Hashem, with any one of these loves that we spoke about in all the previous chapters, boy, is that amazing. That means if we're not driven by our materialistic side, and all we want to do is Torah and mitzvahs because it makes us feel. Boy, is that amazing. But the Alter Rebbe is the ultimate coach. The ultimate coach. The Alter Rebbe is not happy when his players are playing to 98%. The Alter Rebbe wants the players to play to 110%. The Alter Rebbe says, as Jews, we have the capacity to be even greater than what we think is the greatest thing. Well, if you stop somebody in the road, and you ask them, what do you think is the greatest thing possible? Oh, the greatest thing is to be completely wrapped up in spirituality and completely doing mitzvahs and Torah, and this is what you want, and nothing to do with materialistic world at all. Alter Rebbe says, no, that's not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is that you should not be you. The greatest thing is that you should be completely connected to Hashem, that you should be seamlessly connected. In the word language of the Zohar tells us that Oraisa, Kutchabrichu, and Yisrael are Kulachad, we're all one. The Torah, God, and Jews are all one. All one means we don't exist as a separate entity, as a separate something. So anyway, let's see this in the note inside. It says, such a love of God cannot prompt one directly. We talk about, in the language of Torah mitzvahs, you can talk about mitzvahs, you can talk about love for God. If you don't do the mitzvah, if you don't actually do it, you are in a wonderful state of imagination, but that's you're not living it. So anyway, that's the lesson. So this is, the Alter Rebbe is telling us here, and anyway, in the note, this beginning of this chapter 50, this love of God, as we're talking about, which is the love of close hanefesh. Close hanefesh means expiration of the neshama, wanting to be completely seamless with Hashem, not looking for our own spiritual edification, our own spiritual building ourselves up spiritually, but wanting instead to completely not exist. This love of Hashem can't prompt one directly to observe Torah mitzvahs, because what it basically is saying is, I want to die, right? How is that possible? You can't do Torah mitzvahs if you're dead. If your neshama is upstairs, it goes back up to heaven, you're not doing any Torah mitzvahs. So what's the value? What's the value of such a love? The Alter Rebbe says, you know what the value of that love is? It puts your head on straight. It tells you what the whole story is about. And then when the person says to themselves that I am not going to, if you're truly holding at that level, you're about to expire, your neshama is about to fly out of your body, go back up to heaven, and you say, no, that's not the mission. The mission instead is to stay here in this world and to sort of break myself, meaning I want to go and to connect to spirituality in the most perfect form possible, and Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants me to be here. And so this is the ultimate. The ultimate is the Kabbalas Ol. Kabbalas Ol is the Hebrew word for accepting the yoke of heaven, doing Torah mitzvahs because Hashem wants us, not because it makes us feel good. So imagine how great that is. We're always struggling to do Torah mitzvahs to get a good feeling to get a good, to get a kick out of it, an energetic kick, and therefore to do the mitzvahs, and therefore do the Torah. And we're saying, oh yeah, I wish I would only appreciate studying. I wish I would only appreciate the mitzvahs. And look at this. What I appreciate is eating salami. What I appreciate is going to the beach. Instead, I wish I could appreciate studying Torah. And that should be the thing that I run to. And that's like my peace of mind zone. And I wish it could be as great as some, you know, some other thing. Now, the Rebbe says, you got to even think greater than that. You got to think bigger than that. And this is what we're talking about here. So, nevertheless, the ultimate aim, I'm continuing to note, the ultimate aim of every love of God is to serve him through fulfilling his will. The ultimate aim is the term I used before, which is Kabbalas Ol, fulfilling the will of heaven, being a conduit for Hashem's will, not doing it because it makes you feel good. Even though, as I said, boy, if you can prevail upon yourself that Torah mitzvahs is the only thing that makes you feel good, boy, are you on a great level. We're saying that the Rebbe wants more from us. The Torah Hashem wants more from us as a result of the inspiration of this love. In the case of Klos HaNefesh, however, is not the state of love in itself which arouses one to serve Hashem through Torah mitzvahs. It is rather through a contrary inclination aroused within the soul. During the very sensation of burning love for Hashem, when the soul is in a state of surging ahead and expiring into godliness, at that moment you realize that that's not what Hashem wants from you. On the contrary, the intent of Hashem is God's desire for you is that the soul should remain enclosed in the body. Hashem wants us here in this world. When a person realizes this, it brings one to subordinate your feelings. And instead of enjoying the rapturous sensation of surging forward, inspiring to godliness, you come to experience the opposite sensation of returning, of becoming enclosed in the body for the sake of fulfilling the divine intent by observing Torah mitzvahs. The Alter Rebbe says, all the forms and loves of Hashem, which we discussed before this chapter 50, are called kesef, silver. Kesef means desire. That's what the Hebrew word kesef comes from, the word lichsof, to desire, to want. That means it satisfies our want. It makes us feel holy, spiritual, connected. And it's all wonderful. And as I said before, let's not minimize that. That's amazing. If a person can actually prevail upon themselves that all that satisfies, all your desire is to be doing mitzvahs, boy, is that amazing. The Alter Rebbe says, as I've said, wants more from us. Kesef comes from the category of chesed. Tikkunei Zohar, the Zohar calls this the right arm of the divine stature. Because when we always speak about the 10 sefirot, we talk about chesed and gevura. Chesed means giving, 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 a flow. Gevura means, as we spoke about many times, gevura means a lens, a focusing of that flow, which by definition necessitates a lessening of the flow. For example, if you have just light that's flowing all over the place, a light bulb versus a laser beam that focuses the light. So you cut down on the rays of light, but it's more powerful. So therefore, chesed means a flow. Chesed is energy that's just flowing, that's going. And gevura, which is called the left arm, and it's all poetry again, is for us to understand these concepts, means the focusing of that flow. In the Kabbalah, the 10 sphera are divided into three groups. So the 10 sfirot are divided into three groups, which is 3, 3, 3. That gives you 9. And the 10th one is the connection that divides those three groups to the next level of 10. So there's constant levels of 10 that are bringing the energy down. 3, 3, 3 goes to 1, and the 1 connects to the next group of 3. And the three groups are divided into right, left, and center. And again, it's poetry. It's not actually right and actually left and actually center. We're talking about energy here. We're not talking about something that takes up place. But this is a way for us to understand that the right hand is giving, the left hand is restricting, and the center is a combination. So you have hot, cold, and warm. The right line, known as the line of chesed, consists of the sefirot of chachma, chesed, netzah. The left line, known as the line of gevura, consists of the sefirot of bina, gevura, hod. Chesed is an outgrowth of chachma. Because you have connected these three, so therefore chesed, which is a flow, chesed, which literally means kindness, but just a poetic way of saying a flow of energy that's not limited, That comes from Chachma, which begins the line of this of the three on the right. Gevura is a product of Bina, which begins the line of the left. The other sphere are in the center. The various kinds of love of God, which we have discussed before this, come under the category of Chesed and Kesef. They come from Chachma. The level of God in the form of Klos and Nefesh comes under the category of Gevura, which is called Zav, gold, and comes from Bina. So what's the difference? Let's talk for a moment. What is the difference between Chachma and Bina? So we're saying that these two types of love, the love for Hashem, which is satisfying our own desire for spirituality, our own desire for spiritual growth, that we said, which is amazing, but we said that's a lower group. That's the group of love called Kesef, silver. The love for Hashem, which is the love that is a complete desire to expire into spirituality and not to be in this world at all, that we said is the higher form of love, and that's love of gold, of zahav. And we said that this is chesed and gevura. Why is it chesed and gevura? So let's first talk about chachma and bina, and then we'll talk about chesed and gevura. Because the Alter Rebbe here is explaining, understand, is like reading a book on physics, let's say, and or a book on mathematics or a book on any other thing, and you talk about the philosophy, you know, but then you get into the mathematics, you know, behind the philosophy. So you can talk about physics, and then you can talk about how the math works. Now the Rebbe told us about the concept of philosophy, but now he's talking about the math. Why does it work that way? You know, what's under the hood? How does the piano work? And you know, open up the piano. Let's find out how it actually, you hit the key in the front of the piano and you get music. Why is that like that? So that's what Chassidus is all about and Kabbalah is all about. It gives us the why. It tells us the background, what's under the hood. So let's talk about that. So the Alter Rebbe says that you have the three groups of 10 spheres. And that one group is on the right, one is on the left, one is in the center. The right group starts with Chachma. Chachma is literally Chachma means inspiration. Literally, Chachma means wisdom, but it really is better translated as conception or inspiration. What is conception or inspiration? The beginning of an idea. A person wants to do something, and the beginning of your idea is a little germ of an idea, a kernel of an idea, a little flash of inspiration you have. But then after the flash of inspiration, or you can call it conception, then you have the next level, which is called Bina. And that is a developing of the concept. So let's say you talk about something simple. You're hungry. You want to have lunch. So a person says, I want to have lunch. Where do I want to go? I want to go to this restaurant. I'm in my kitchen. I'm going to open up the refrigerator. I'm going to eat this kind of sandwich or this kind of dish. All right, fine. Now, what am I going to put into it? So that's Bina. Bina is, let's look at the menu. Let's choose. Let's this, let's that. So by necessity, Bina is a weeding out process, right? By necessity. Because if your flash of inspiration tells you that I want to build a building, I want to go to Israel. Okay, when am I going to go to Israel? When? Which airline am I going to use? Where am I going to stay? Which hotel? What am I going to do? So by necessity, after your flash of inspiration, I'm going on vacation. By necessity, the next step is, okay, let's cut it down. I can go on vacation anywhere in the world. I could eat anything in my refrigerator. I can go to any restaurant in town. Assuming they're all kosher, of course. I can, maybe if you're living in Aventura, you can go to any restaurant almost. So now I want to decide where. So therefore, Bina, which is the building out of the concept, and you can call it comprehension if you want to keep the words starting with the letter C. So they have conception. You have comprehension, and where you flesh out that first concept. And now and bring it down a level, and that's chachma. I'm sorry, that's chesed, which is the flow of energy. Flow of energy. It's without direction, aimless energy, just flowing. That's similar, the Alter Rebbe tells us, and the Zohar tells us, to the first initial level, which is called chachma, just like the flow of the concept, the conception, the idea is not formed, right? It's not formed. It's not precise. You don't know exactly where you want to go on vacation. You don't know where you're going. It's aimless almost. Vacation, wonderful. Eating, wonderful. So it's still not formed. In the same sense, chesed is unformed, undirected, unfocused energy flow. Once you put the lens on it, once you focus the energy, so that's bina. Or another way of saying bina, the Zohar tells us, is gevura. So these are all poetic Hebrew words that are expressing a concept, like every word expresses a concept. But these are poetic words that express the process of a decision-making, the process of an understanding, the process of anything. So these are words that discuss a process. So the 10 sefirot, therefore, are steps in the formation and conclusion of a process. It starts with a concept, which we call poetically chachma, or conception, and it concludes with the number 10 sefira, which is called malchus, which, as I mentioned to you before, is the connection of the process to the next step in the process, because a process is a continual process. You know, just because you made one decision, you have another decision to make, another decision, another decision. So there's a continual step in process. So therefore, when we're relating this back to the love, the various loves for Hashem that we have, the love for Hashem desire, that is our desire, that is a love which is chachma and chesed. Because when you're talking about a person's desire, and if the reason for your love for Hashem is to make you feel, or because you feel a spiritual surge of energy when you have this love, when you do this mitzvah, when you study this part of Torah, you feel so special and so holy and so connected, then it is a surge. It's not discipline. As much as it seems like discipline, but again, because you're serving yourself, because you're satisfying yourself, at the end of the day, self-satisfaction is the opposite of discipline. Mm-hmm. No other way to cut it. If you're satisfying yourself, you're not disciplined. Discipline means doing something in spite of the fact that it's not what you want to do. So as long as a person is doing something because that's what they want to do, it could be the most amazing thing in the world. But you're undisciplined. You're doing it because you want. Ultimate discipline, which we said is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting the yoke of heaven, doing something which you don't want to do because Hashem wants you to do it. And that's why that the level of love, which is the level of love of klos hanefesh, of expiration of the neshama, which the person really, really wants. What does the person want? The person wants to leave this world. But then the person says, no, Hashem doesn't want that. Hashem wants me to be here. And I will not succumb. I will not give in to this desire for my neshama to fly out of my body. Instead, I want to stay here and live in this physical world, even though I don't want to be here. That's the ultimate, and that's discipline. And that's why it's called gevura. That's why it's called gold. Because at the end of the day, as wonderful as we feel when we do something spiritual, it's not connected to Hashem in the most seamless way unless we're doing it because we don't want to do it. So this is paradoxical, obviously. It's paradoxical. But it, when you think about it, the only way to be a soldier in the army is to do something because you don't want to do it, because you're afraid to fight the enemy, because you don't want to go on that hill. And you do it anyway, then you're a soldier. Otherwise, you're a general. So if you want to be a general, be a general. You want to call the shots, call the shots. But then you're not a soldier. Then you're not giving up your life for your country. So at the end of the day, if your person says, I want to give up my life for my country, and therefore I'm going to go and do crazy things, the general says, no, that's not your point. The point is you should stay alive. I need you in the army. I need you to provide morale to the other soldiers. I need you this, so on and so forth. This is not why you're in the army. You're not, yes, you have to have Mesiras Nefesh, self-sacrifice, but no, that's not the reason you're in the army. You're in the army so you should remain alive and go back to your family and so on. You're going to do what I'm going to tell you to do, not what you want to do. So this is a deep, deep lesson, and it's basically the difference between, I would say, Hasidim and Misnagdim. It's not maybe PC to say that. The entire Hasidus, all the teachings of Hasidus teach us that the Torah and the mitzvahs that we do is not to make us feel good. Imagine that. Imagine how difficult that is. Not to make us feel good, it's to make Hashem feel good. And if we're fulfilling Torah and the mitzvahs on what we consider to be the most perfect level, but we're doing it because it's making us feel good, you missed the entire point. Are you going to get reward? Of course you get reward. You did at the end of the day, you did the right thing. At the end of the day, are you on a high level? Of course you're on a high level. But are you on the level that you're supposed to be on? No, you're missing the point. The point is, in the language of the prophets, the Nevi'im, the Navi Yeshayahu tells us, Hashem doesn't need our Torah. Hashem doesn't need our mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't need our anything. Hashem is perfect. Hashem gave us Torah and mitzvahs so that we should be able to feel connected to Him. So, person, look what I did. I did this. Hashem says that's wonderful. But if you did it for yourself, then who are you serving as yourself? So, not to get too hooked up, but not to get too focused on what we're not. Believe me, as I said before, if you can prevail upon yourself that all you want to do is Torah and mitzvahs, boy, are you special. Don't put yourself down. But again, the Alter Rebbe is demanding yet more and more from us. So let's read a little bit here inside. All the forms and levels of love. This is the text itself. All the forms and levels of love mentioned above derive from the right side, the level of Kohen. Kohen is called a man of kindness. Again, it's a poetic way of saying the energy flow, the flow of the form of serving Hashem comes in the category of chesed. They are called Kesef HaKadoshim. They're called Kesef HaKadoshim, a longing for holy things. As in the words, you sorely long for your father's home, where the Hebrew word for longing is related to the word for Kesef. There is, however, another level of love, which excels these levels, just as gold is superior to silver. This is the love like glowing coals of fire, a burning love, unlike the aforementioned forms of love, which are like water, where the soul is drawn yearning to Hashem, just like water that flows and attracted in a certain direction. This is a higher level of love. And the level of love that we're talking about now, the Kolos HaNefesh love, the love where you want to aspire into Hashem's energy, comes from the higher level of Gevurah of the higher Bina. In other words, the source for this love is the level of Gevurah in Bina. The arousal of this love comes about through meditation on how great Hashem is, before whom all is considered as absolute nothingness. So when a person meditates and studies the works of the Zohar and the works of Chassidus and studies about the angels and studies about the levels, and you think about this and you think about this and you think about this, you say, what am I? I'm nothing. The world is nothing. The entire world that we got excited about in the previous levels of love, we talked about Avas Olam, for example. Avas Olam, we said, if you want to wake up within yourself a love for Hashem, look at nature. Look at the trees. Look at the birds. Look at yourself. Look at your body. Look at the galaxies, the stars. The God who created all of these things that are working so harmoniously, look how powerful that God is. So this love for Hashem that we called Avas Olam, for example, it wakes us up to a feeling of a love for Hashem. Look how powerful the king is, and I have the ability to do a mitzvah for this powerful God who asked me to do a mitzvah. This is amazing. The Alter Rebbe says, but that's nothing compared to a meditation on the greatness of Hashem, that the world, this whole entire world is nothing. So instead of focusing on the world, focus on Hashem. When you're focused on how great the world is, and therefore you are thinking about how great Hashem is, that's it's an amazing level of appreciation for spirituality, for Hashem's power, but it's still focusing on the material. But if the person instead is focusing on Hashem and looking at how this whole entire creation, the universe, everything in the world, absolutely is nothing compared to Hashem, that's a different look. Then the soul will come inflamed, flares up towards the precious splendor of his greatness in order to gaze upon the glory of the king. This is this love. It is like glowing fiery coals of a mighty flame which surges upward, which strives to be parted from the wick. It's like the fire, Alter Rebbe says poetically, when you look at a candle burning, the flame of the candle seems to be dancing away from the wick. You look at the candle, you look at the candle, you look at your Shabbos candles, you look at a candle, any candle, and the flame keeps looking, keeps trying to escape from the wick, especially if there's a little wind in the room. The flame goes a little up, then it comes back down, a little up, and it comes back down. The Alter Rebbe says this is a metaphor. This is a way of understanding what our neshama is going through if we only let it, if we only give it the right inspiration and the right reflection. If our neshama reflects on how great Hashem is and the fact that nebuch, it has to be in a body. It's like the candle, like the flame of the candle, that against its will, it's stuck to the wick. It wants to go up. The gas of the fire wants to go up, but against its will, it's stuck to the wick. So this is what the neshama is going through. It is like glowing fiery coals of a mighty flame which surge upward, and it strives to be parted from the wick and the wood in which it has taken hold. In the same way, the soul wants to tear itself away from the body. The body is compared to a wick. The body is compared to wood. We've said, talked about this in previous chapters when we spoke about how is it, what is the mechanism, what's the way, the Alter Rebbe asked in previous chapters, 35, 29, what is the way for a person who doesn't feel an excitement for spirituality, who doesn't feel the power of doing mitzvahs? The Alter Rebbe says, how can such a person prevail upon themselves to, instead of being excited for material things, for physical things, to get excited about studying Torah, about doing a mitzvah? The Alter Rebbe gave the example from the Zohar of a log that you put in a fire and the log doesn't catch fire. You're putting it inside a burning fire. So you're putting it in your fireplace, you're putting it in your fire pit, whatever it is, and a big piece of wood, a log, and it's not burning. Why is it not burning? Because it's too big, plain and simple. There's not enough surface for the fire. So what do? The Zohar says, very simple. Take it out of the fire, chop it down into smaller pieces. When you chop it into smaller pieces, you put it in the fire very fast. It's going to, very quickly, it's going to burn up. Well, the simple reason is because now there's more surface for the fire to. But the bottom line is the materialistic aspect of this log was just overwhelming the fire. And we break it down. So the Alter Rebbe said previously that the body is compared to wood. If you break down your body by either yelling at your body and yelling at yourself, or by not being as involved in material things as a person was, just stop being so involved. This was previously in the previous chapters. But the point is that we have compared the body to wood. We compared the body to a wick. And if the body is wood and the body is a wick, then the neshama is the fire that is burning from the wick of the body, from the wood of the body. And the neshama, just like when we look at a fire, we look at a candle, we see the flame wants to tear itself away from the wick, so too the neshama wants to tear itself away from the body. And this results, when the neshama wants to tear itself away from the body, this results from the predominance of the element of the divine fire in the divine soul. Unlike other forms of love, which come from the element of water, because one of the first things we spoke about in Tanya is that the world is divided into four elements: water, fire, wind, and earth. And there, the neshama itself, whether it's the divine neshama, the nefesh elokis, or the nefesh bahamas, the animalistic soul, has these four qualities of water, fire, wind, and earth. And the qualities, again, this is poetry. Doesn't mean it's water and fire and wind and earth and the neshama. The neshama is spiritual. But this is poetry, and it means the fire part is the energy part, the energy. The water part is the energy finding rest, finding peace. Just like water always seeks the lowest level, that's water. And fire always looks to go up. It's a gas, always looks to go up. So that's, it's a poetic way of saying this surging desire of the neshama to be connected to Hashem, that is fire. The love for Hashem, which feels satisfied by, in other words, what's the desire? The desire, we said, which is the lower level of love, is kesef, desire. So a person has a desire to be spiritual. So you do a mitzvah, you feel good. You study Torah, you feel satisfied. That is called water, because it satisfies, it brings you back, it comes down to your level. If you're able to feel it. From this, the Alter Rebbe says, if a person is focused rather than on the water aspect of love for Hashem, but a person is focused on the fire aspect, meaning the unquenchable desire to be close to Hashem, then you have thirst. Just as is in the physical domain, one becomes thirsty when the element of fire predominates. If you're in a hot place, plain and simple, you're thirsty. So too in the spiritual domain. The ascendancy of the divine soul's element of fire, when a person is feeling this surging love for Hashem, I want to be connected, I don't want to be in this world, it creates a thirst within the soul. And that's what it says in Tehillim. David HaMelech says, Samalcha nafshi, my soul thirsts for you. Why does my soul thirst? Because I've reached this level of what's called, I've reached this level of desire for Hashem, of wanting to be connected, not wanting to be here. And it becomes so bad that not only are you thirsty, it's a level of cholas ava, language of Shir Hashirim, Song of Songs, the level of love sickness. The soul is sick with love for Hashem, just as an unquenched physical thirst brings on a state of sickness. And then it comes to close anefesh, a virtual expiring of the soul, close anefesh, that is written, Gab kol sanafshi, my soul expires. What do you have to do in order, of course, to reverse that process and not actually die, is have discipline, have Kabbalah soul. And that discipline we call shuv, the returning. If not for the consequent contrary sensation of retreat, and restraining oneself, the soul would literally expire. From here, the level of the higher gevurot, of the higher bina, from this level comes the leviim. So the Rebbe is telling us now, poetically again, the difference between these two loves. The love for Hashem that is satisfying our desire, which we've said is like water, satisfying our desire for spirituality. The love for Hashem, which is a higher level of love, which is a complete thirst for being close to Hashem. And no amount of doing mitzvahs, no amount of studying Torah, can equal or can approximate being in heaven, right? Still, with doing Torah mitzvahs here in this world, it's amazing. But if the neshama is in Shemayim, is in heaven, is in paradise, whatever, the Gan Eden, whatever it is, that's closer, that's better for the neshama itself, not Hashem's plan. So therefore, this level of desire for Hashem, the Alter Rebbe compares these two levels to the Kohen and the Levi. The level of Kohen, we said, is a level of the energy flow, chesed, the lower levels of Hashem, lower levels of love. The level of Gevura, which is the level of the discipline that the person imposes upon himself in order to come back down and to be in this physical world, that we said is the source of the Leviim. In the future, when Mashiach comes, the world is going to be elevated. The Leviim are also going to be Kohanim. As our master, Rabbi Yitzchak Lurie, the Arizal, blessed memory, comments on the verse, the Kohanim will be in the Levites of today, Levites today will come in the future. Why is this? Al Rebbe says, because the service, the Levite service of Hashem was to raise their voice in melody, thanksgiving. What did the Levim do in the Beis HaMikdash? In the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash, the job of the Levim was to sing. When the Kohanim would offer up the offerings, the Karbanos, the Levim would sing. They would sing with their mouth. They would have songs. Which songs would they sing? They would sing chapters of Tehillim, chapters of written by David HaMelech. They would have musical instruments playing, but their job was singing. That's the general job of the Levim. Music characteristically combines varied and even opposite moods. Some are serious, some are happy. Their music progressed in a manner of etrotzo v'shuv, an advance and retreat. Such is the nature of this intense love, like a flame that flashes out of the bazaar, as it says in the Gemara. This is a quote from the Nevi'im, from the prophets, that the prophet, you see in the note, Yechezkel says that when he saw the angels, the prophet Ezekiel, Yechezkel had a vision, and in his vision he saw what the heavenly chariots, what the angels surrounding Hashem looked like, and he said, he says in his vision, he says, the angels look like they're a flash of fire coming out from what's called a bazaar, coming out from this state of a flash of flame, lightning, flashes of fire. A flash of fire, by definition, is lightning, by definition, is dark and light, dark and light. Dark and light. That's what lightning is. It's a dark night and the lightning flashes. If not, you couldn't see the lightning. If it's during the day, well, the lightning maybe is more powerful, more bright even in the dark day, whatever it is. So that's what it is. So this is all, again, poetic way for us to understand the surge and the return. The surge and the return. The dark and the light. The going and the coming, the desire to expire into spirituality, into Hashem's oneness, and then saying to yourself, no, I need to be here in this world. That's what my mission is. That's what the discipline requires of me. So this is analogous. It is similar to the job of the Levim. The job of the Kohanim was, what was the job of the Kohanim? The job of the Kohanim was to offer the offerings, to offer the Karbanos. You offer the Karbanos, that's it. It's burnt. It's up. The Karban is consuming itself. The animal, as great as it is, as holy as the Karban is, at the end of the day, does the Karban come back alive? No, it doesn't. It's slaughtered. It's burnt on the Mizbeach. It's burnt on the altar. The Levim, by contrast, had the capacity and therefore the higher level of energy to take an emotion and to bring the person by song to a state of excitement, to a state of appreciation for the, you know, in the music, and then to bring the person back down to this world. Music goes back and forth. So this is the difference, and again, it's poetry, a little way for us to understand how the energy works. It is impossible, the Rebbe says to...
Sorry, Rabbi. So Levim, they're like Gevura, like you said, they can control, right? They can...
Levim were controlled, exactly.
Yeah,
the difference between Kohanim and Levim is energy flow that's powerful, powerful energy, but it's not controlled. It's an energy flow that just flows. The Levim, by definition, through playing the music, you can't just do whatever you want. It has to be in a certain mathematical progression. Music is math. And it has to be, the singing also has to be harmony, has to be controlled. So the difference, therefore, between Levim and Kohanim, which again is a poetic way of saying the difference between having a surge of energy versus having a controlled, disciplined attitude and practice. Now, the Kohanim and Levim weren't independent of each other. They had to do the service together. You understand? So this is not, it's not one over the other. It's two aspects of our relationship with Hashem. And it's and we mentioned previously that when Mashiach comes, the Levim will be able to be Kohanim. What that means is that the necessity for this discipline of remaining in the physical world will no longer be true, because the physical world itself will be the goal, which we haven't even mentioned or spoken about, but Rebbe will speak about this. But when Mashiach comes, instead of having a, if you want to be the ultimate spiritual today, you got to leave the physical world. And when Mashiach, you got to go up to Gan Eden, to paradise, wherever it is, the higher level of spirituality. That's not going to be so when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, it's going to be evident the power of Hashem in this world, the Or Ein Sof, the unlimited energy. And then the desire of all creatures, including us Jews, is going to be in this physical world, because the physical world is going to be the manifestation, the greatest manifestation of Hashem's presence. And that's why the Levim will be able to be Kohanim. There will no longer be a need for the discipline of remaining here, because there's not going to be a here or a there. Not because you're not only discipline, but because the here is going to be the there. The physical world is going to be the revealed place of greatest energy. So, I don't know. I'm sorry I cut you off, but you were saying something. No?
No,
No.
you answer it. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
So let's continue a little bit. Actually, it's quarter after almost. So anyway, the Altareva says, it is impossible to explain the subject clearly in writing. Every person with a feeling heart, who is understanding and intelligent, can delve deeply. The Altareva says, you got to work. You want to understand this? You got to work. You got to meditate. And the more you meditate, and the more you delve deeply in attaching your mind and understanding to Hashem, you will find the goodness and the light concealed within an intelligent soul. Each according to your capacity, you'll be able to understand better and better. Alter Rebbe says, clearly there are some people affected from one type of meditation, other people are affected a different type of meditation. After prefacing this meditation by a fear of sin, and of course Alter Rebbe says, if you truly want to be spiritual, then first you got to perfect your actions. You can't be spiritual on the levels that we're talking about unless it's prefaced by actually doing everything that Hashem wants, and also, of course, not doing anything Hashem doesn't want. So that is, of course, very, very critical. You have to preface the meditation by fear of sin, the fear of doing wrong by sinning, in order to become utterly removed from evil. You have to withhold yourself from doing anything wrong to avoid the result of having what the Torah says, your transgressions will interpose between you and Hashem. When a person does a sin, then the person says, I'm meditating, but I don't get it. Well, the answer is because we've done certain things that are stopping, that are blocking the spiritual energy from flowing and from illuminating our neshama, our mind. In order that your divine service through studying Torah and through doing mitzvahs should be derived from this intense love, it's only possible in a manner of a tree. That means when the soul withholds itself from expiring through this discipline, through this Kabbalah's all, it's accepting the yoke of heaven, accepting the divine mission. It withholds itself from expiring in order to fulfill the divine intent, which can only be realized when the soul remains within the body. That means you can only fulfill mitzvahs, which is what Hashem wants you to do if you're alive. And this is actually written, Alter Rebbe says, in the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is one of the earliest Kabbalistic works. Our tradition is it was actually written by Abraham, and or at least parts of it. It says if your heart hastens, if your heart is running, return to the One. If your heart is running, this refers to the craving of the soul that is on the right side of the heart, meaning your divine soul, your nefesh elokis, when it craves to be united with Hashem and leaves your body and wants to leave the body, return to the One. What does it mean, return to the One? Return, recognize your mission, recognize what Hashem really wants from you. And then, when it wants to leave its confinement, and it wants to leave this world, then one must take to heart the teaching of our sages, despite yourself, you must live. Against your will, al karchach atachai, against your will, you must live. Despite your craving for expiration and close on nefesh, despite the fact that your neshama wants to be connected to Hashem in such a way that it wants to leave this physical world and doesn't want to be alive, nevertheless, you must remain alive because that's your purpose in this body, to keep your body alive for the purpose of drawing down the higher life force from the life of life, blessed be through the giving of Torah. As explained above, this is the ultimate divine intent that the human being service of Hashem. What does Hashem want from us? We should make the physical world a dwelling place for Hashem. And this is what it means, return to one. Retreat from your love of God, which is a state of close hanefesh, of expiration, for the sake of the one, for the sake of revealing Hashem's oneness in the world. As it says in the Zohar, that lemehve echad be'echad, that the unity of one should become revealed in this world. So let's stop with this, and we will continue. We have just a little bit to go. Let's finish up, actually. And with this, we'll be able to understand the saying of our sages of blessed memory, that against your will you must live. What should your desire be? This is explained elsewhere at length. Despite yourself, you must live with the help of the life of life, meaning Hashem's ultimate energy and blessing. Now, Hashem will enable you to cope with this compulsion to live despite yourself. What this means is that when a person feels, and halavai, halavai means would that we would only feel a little bit of this, but at least Alter Rebbe says we are capable if we do work ourselves up to it. This means that when one's love of Hashem is surging forward in close nefesh, you force yourself against your will to remain alive within the body in order to reveal down here in this world the life of life, the divine force which gives life to the world. So the takeaway is that as much as we feel, no matter what we feel, whether it's wanting to feel connected or not wanting to, whatever it is, whatever our desire is, we have to know that the mission is the mission, and we have to sign on to the mission, and that mission is to reveal Hashem's presence in this world. I've never previously explained that the way you reveal Hashem's presence in this world is by doing stuff that Hashem wants you to do that you don't want to do. Right? So we go from the simplest to the most sublime, to the most highest. It could be a mitzvah that you don't feel you're ready for. It could be something that you don't feel that it's really you. I'm not on that level. How can I do that? Or it could be close on nefesh. It could be the desire to actually, because you're so holy, to leave this physical world, and instead you force yourself to stay here. So at the end of the day, how do you make it evident? How do you make it evident? How do you make it clear that Hashem is the boss? The answer is by listening. How do you make it clear that anybody's the boss? By doing something that the boss wants you to do, even though you don't want to do it. That's how you make it clear who the boss is. If you're doing what you want to do, and which happens to align, just so happens to align with what the boss wants you to do, then maybe you're doing it because you're doing it. Oh, the boss is not the boss. Maybe you're the boss. But when you're doing something that you don't want to do because the boss wants you to do it, then the boss is the boss. And that's true on all levels. It's true on the simplest level of doing a mitzvah, even if you don't want to do the mitzvah. And again, it's true on the highest level of wanting to remain alive in this world, even if you really want to have close nefesh, expiration of the neshama.